This is Chris.
And this is Jim.
And this is Double Dome Digitally Speaking.
Enjoy the show.
You know, usually when you get a quarterly business report, it feels a bit like, well, like receiving a medical chart written in a language you only half understand.
Oh, yeah. Totally overwhelming.
Right. You're holding this dense stack of PDFs. It's covered in like charts, acronyms, and heat maps. And there's this heavy expectation of precision.
Mm.
But when you actually sit down to look at it, you're left wondering how any of these colorful graphs translate into daily operations. I mean, it feels like a historical document.
Exactly. It's a record of money that has already been spent.
Yeah, and actions you can no longer change. But what if that report wasn't a history lesson? Like, what if instead of a post-mortem, it was actually a prophecy?
I love that framing. And that shift in perspective is, well, it's entirely what we're looking at today. It is about taking the data you already own and fundamentally changing your relationship with it.
Right.
You're transforming it from a backward-looking audit into a forward-looking targeting system.
And we are pulling our insights today from a single, highly focused source for you. It's an article from Double Dome Digital Marketing by Clark Mago.
Yeah, it's a great piece.
It really is. And it's specifically looking at Q1 data and how to use it to build a quarterly ad strategy for 2026. Okay, let's unpack this, because Mago comes out swinging right from the opening paragraph.
It really doesn't hold back.
No, he asserts that the standard pile of April Q1 reports you might be searing at right now, you know, the ones showcasing high impression shares and click volumes, are virtually useless to a CEO trying to scale a predictable revenue system.
Yeah, he basically frames those legacy metrics as pure noise.
And it's a dangerous kind of noise, right?
Right.
Because it provides a false sense of security.
Right. We need to establish the stakes here, because the digital marketing landscape has fundamentally fractured. I mean, the source attributes this specifically to the 2026 AI slump.
Wait, I want to stop you right there. I've seen the term AI slump floating around recently,
yeah,
but usually in the context of like SaaS valuations or software development cycles.
Yes.
Mago is using it specifically regarding digital ad performance. Walk me through the actual mechanics of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, how does the proliferation of AI tools directly correlate to my ad budget suddenly burning out with lower returns?
Well, it comes down to user behavior and ad inventory. Over the last couple of years, users have been conditioned to use tools like ChatGPT or Gemini to answer their queries directly.
Right, they aren't clicking links.
Exactly. They aren't scrolling through a traditional search engine results page anymore. And because of this, the overall volume of traditional search queries, the actual real estate where your ads live, is shrinking.
So fewer people are engaging with the traditional layout.
Right, but the number of advertisers trying to buy their way to the top of those shrinking results, that hasn't decreased.
Oh, wow.
It has increased. So you have a classic supply and demand crisis. Search engines have less ad inventory to sell, so the algorithm artificially hikes the cost per click just to maintain the platform's overall revenue.
So renting your growth through traditional Google Ads is getting exponentially more expensive.
Yeah, because you are fighting a larger crowd for a smaller patch of land.
Man, that paints a grim picture for the classic set it and forget it's monthly ad budget.
Yeah.
So the ultimate goal, the holy grail for a business owner, according to this piece, is to build a machine where you bypass that entirely.
Yes. You look at a clear dashboard and simply say, I spent X dollars and I made Y dollars.
Right. But to figure out how we use Q1 data to get to that level of clarity for Q2, we have to look at how Mago dismantles the old way of looking at data.
For sure. The contrast presented in the source material between legacy Q1 reporting and the 2026 quarterly ad strategy is, well, it's stark, mostly because legacy reporting looks entirely backward.
Yeah, it focuses heavily on static budgets tied to top-of-funnel metric goals like impressions and clicks.
Exactly.
But I'm going to push back on the idea that impressions are useless, even in 2026. I mean, general brand awareness has to count for something, doesn't it? Well, if a million people see my ad online, even if they don't click it right that second, they are being primed.
Mm.
People need to know your brand exists before they ever make a commercial decision.
See, that is the traditional Madison Avenue logic. And to be fair, it held true for decades. But the source challenges the actual value of those raw impressions in an AI-saturated digital environment.
So,
you have to look at the composition of those impressions today. In legacy reporting, you get high volume, but you are acquiring incredibly high noise.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, your data gets filled with automated scrapers, indexers, and LLM training bots. So the CEO looks at a chart where the impression line goes up, and they get this vague feeling of, well, I think our awareness is growing.
When in reality, half of that awareness is just server farms in Nevada pinging the ad URL.
Precisely. You are literally paying a premium for bots to see your brand.
It sounds like judging the success of a restaurant by tracking the shadows of people walking past the front window on the sidewalk.
That's a perfect way to put it.
You have no idea if they looked at the menu, if they were even hungry, or if they were just pigeons flying by the glass. Meanwhile, the maitre d' is telling the owner, foot traffic is up 200%, but the cash register is empty.
What's fascinating here is how perfectly that analogy captures the core problem. The 2026 strategy forces a pivot away from window shopping.
Okay.
Instead of optimizing for impressions and generic clicks, the absolute focus shifts to revenue and ROAS. But more importantly, it requires abandoning that static budget for a fluid, data-driven approach that relies strictly on pre-vetted, human-verified data.
Okay, so we actively ignore the window shoppers and the pigeons. We need a fluid budget. But let's get into the operational side of this.
Let's do it.
Moldego outlines a clear roadmap to transition a strategy, relying on what he calls the four critical inputs for Q2 success. How do we apply these inputs to actually find the paying customers hiding in our messy Q1 data?
So the first critical input is audience segment validation. When you analyze your Q1 data through the lens of actual closed revenue rather than top-of-funnel engagement, you inevitably face a stark reality.
Which is?
The data almost always shows that roughly 20% of your audience segments are driving 80% of your actual revenue.
Let's drill into the mechanics of that.
Yeah.
How is a marketing director actually isolating that 20%? Because, I mean, a standard dashboard often blends everything together into an aggregate CPA.
Right, you have to dig deeper. You have to utilize granular attribution models that trace the final conversion value back to the specific IP ranges, device types, or demographic buckets that initiated the journey.
Okay, that makes sense.
Once you map that out, the strategy for Q2 isn't to take your remaining budget and try to reach more people in those underperforming segments. You aggressively prune the dead weight.
You just cut them loose.
Completely. You identify the 80% of segments that only provide vanity clicks, and you eliminate them entirely from the targeting parameters. You then reallocate that freed up capital exclusively to the segments that have proven they convert into actual revenue.
So you are really concentrating your firepower.
Exactly.
But finding the 20% who actually buy leads directly into the second input, right?
Right.
Which is ad copy angle winners.
Yeah.
Because knowing who to talk to doesn't mean much if you don't know what to say to get them to open their wallets.
You hit the nail on the head. You have to figure out the psychological hook that triggered real human beings to take commercial action.
Right.
If you look at the A/B testing in your Q1 data, you need to isolate the messaging themes. Did your leads respond better to a logical quantitative message focused on efficiency and scale?
Or did they convert when the messaging tapped into loss aversion, like highlighting risk mitigation?
Exactly. You have to find that hook.
Here's where it gets really interesting for you listening right now, thinking about your own budget allocation. I look at this like stand-up comedy.
Oh, I like this.
Right. Q1 is your open mic night. It's the messy, low-stakes Tuesday night where you test all the new jokes, see what gets a chuckle, and see what completely bombs.
Yeah.
But Q2 is your highly produced Netflix special. You only bring the material, you know, gets a massive reaction. You do not experiment on the big stage. You play the absolute hits.
That framing highlights exactly why you have to be ruthless with your copy selection. You curate the best material, but the reason you must play the hits goes far beyond human psychology.
How so?
It ties directly back to how you survive the AI slump. The source explicitly notes that by identifying and doubling down on what humans engaged with in Q1, you are positioning yourself to become the preferred answer in AI search models.
Wait, I need you to connect those dots for me.
Yeah.
How does my specific ad copy about, say, risk mitigation doing well in Q1 make my brand the preferred answer for an artificial intelligence in Q2? What is the actual technical bridge there?
Well, it comes down to how large language models weight authority. AI search tools don't just scrape text. They prioritize high confidence data. They are constantly looking for signals of true human engagement to determine what source is the most authoritative on a given subject. When you hone in on the exact audience that buys and you use the exact psychological hook they respond to, you generate long session durations, low bounce rates, and high conversion velocities.
Ah, so you're feeding the algorithm the strongest possible user experience signals.
Yes. You are essentially training the AI. The LLM sees that when real humans have a problem related to risk mitigation, they spend significant time on your domain and execute transactions.
Wow.
So the model flags your brand as the definitive authority, which increases the likelihood of your company being the sole recommended answer when someone queries that topic.
That is a massive paradigm shift.
Yeah.
You aren't just trying to win the click. You are actively trying to train the global AI models that your domain is the most satisfying resolution to a human's problem.
Precisely.
Okay. But knowing who you're talking to and knowing what psychological hook to use only matters if you know where and when to deploy it. Which brings us to Mago's third input, commercial intent keyword refinement.
Right. Because in the 2026 landscape, broad keywords are just a playground for automated scripts. If you are bidding on generic single word or two word terms, your budget is being drained by bots building their own databases.
So the move is to comb through the Q1 data and isolate specific long tail phrases.
Yes, because long-tail queries inherently demonstrate high commercial intent. I mean, there is a massive difference in user state between someone searching enterprise software and someone searching enterprise risk mitigation software implementation timeline.
Yeah, that's incredibly specific.
Exactly. The latter is a human being ready to initiate a buying cycle. The source refers to this refinement process as building a moat around your brand.
Because bots don't ask complex implementation questions.
Right. And when a massive corporate client eventually does ask that highly specific service-related question to a tool like ChatGPT, your brand has established so much verified human-backed authority on that specific long-tail concept that you are the undeniable choice.
Okay, we have the who, the what, and the where. Let's tackle the when. Mago's fourth input is temporal pattern optimization.
Yeah, this requires granular data analysis to reveal the exact times and days when your actual buyers are active and converting.
Uh-huh.
And then you adjust your ad schedule to match those hyper-specific windows.
The article uses a very stark example here. It points out that if your ads are firing at 2:00 a.m. on a Tuesday, but your actual closed one conversions happen at 10:00 a.m. on a Thursday, you are bleeding capital for no reason.
Yeah.
But I have a real problem with this approach. I hear the logic of protecting the budget, but my competitors are running their ads 2:47.
Sure.
The internet never closes. Yeah. If I turn my campaigns off on Tuesday at 2 a.m., aren't I just handing market share to my rivals? Prove to me that this surgical precision actually outweighs the lost opportunity of catching an insomniac CEO ready to sign a contract in the middle of the night.
It is a common anxiety, but if we connect this to the bigger picture, we have to look at the mathematics of ad auction liquidity and daily budget caps. Your Q2 budget is finite. Let's say your daily budget cap is $1,000. If you leave your campaigns running 24/7, the ad network's algorithm will pace that spend throughout the day. At 2 a.m. on Tuesday, you might be catching that one insomniac CEO, sure.
Right.
But you are also paying for thousands of bot scrapes and low-intent clicks from international traffic that slip through the cracks.
So I'm draining my daily allowance on garbage.
You are actively depleting your resources.
Right.
By the time 10 a.m. on Thursday rolls around, which is when your Q1 data absolutely proves the real high-intent buyers are in the market with an 80% higher conversion probability, your budget is already constrained.
Oh, I see.
You don't have the capital density left to bid aggressively and dominate the ad auction when it matters most. You basically sacrificed a statistical sure thing to chase an anomaly.
I see. It's not just about saving money. It's about hoarding your ammunition for the main event.
Yeah, vastly.
If I know the target is walking through the door at 10 a.m. on Thursday, I need maximum budget available to outbid my competitors at that exact second.
Surgical precision means allocating every single dollar to the moment of maximum statistical impact.
That completely flips the FOMO argument on its head.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have the four inputs. We prune the underperforming audience segments. We isolate the killer psychological copy hook to train the AI.
Right.
We build a moat with long-tail keywords, and we hoard our budget for the exact hour the buyers show up. To actually implement this, Mago insists on utilizing a singular technical tool and a new primary metric. Let's start with the tool. He calls it a zero-waste filter. How does a CEO practically implement that?
A zero-waste filter is essentially a mechanism for aggressive, automated exclusion based on behavioral patterns. You look at the raw data from Q1, specifically analyzing bounce patterns.
Meaning someone clicks the ad, the page loads, and they leave immediately.
Yes. You look for session lengths under 3 seconds, or clicks originating from specific low-intent IP blocks and referring domains. You then use that negative data to build a comprehensive exclusion list for Q2.
Sounds a lot like setting up rules in your email spam filter.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
You configure it so that emails with certain trigger words or from certain domains bypass your inbox and go straight to the trash. With this filter, you are setting up rules so that clicks from known bot-heavy networks never even trigger an ad impression in the first place.
That is an excellent way to visualize it. You are putting a shield over your budget. You are actively telling the ad network who not to show the ad to, which is just as vital as telling them who you want to target.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener, when you look at your next report? You've got your zero-waste filter blocking the spam. You've abandoned the vanity metrics. What is the one number you should be demanding your team report on to know if Q2 is actually succeeding?
According to the source, the single most important metric to carry forward is conversion value per interaction.
Let's break down why that specific phrasing matters over something like standard ROAS.
Well, standard ROAS can sometimes get muddied by blended attribution models or delayed conversion windows. Conversion value per interaction cuts through the digital fluff.
Oh, nice.
It assigns a true, tangible dollar value to a specific engagement touchpoint. It tells you exactly which combination of audience segment, copy angle, and long tail keyword actually initiated the revenue generation.
It brings it all back to that foundational dashboard requirement. I spent X, I made Y.
Yes. And this is where the article positions a firm like Double Dome Digital Marketing as the necessary technical backbone.
Because realistically, a CEO cannot sit there managing IP exclusion lists, analyzing temporal bounce patterns, and cross-referencing conversion value per interaction across microsegments.
They shouldn't be. The entire premise is that the business owner must step away from algorithm management.
Yeah.
The agency handles the complex machinery under the hood, the constant refining of the zero-waste filter, the pacing of the temporal budget, so that the CEO can focus purely on closing the high-quality leads that the system generates.
It requires a total operational paradigm shift. Mm-hmm. You're taking that dusty, backward-looking quarterly report, tearing it down to the studs, and turning it into a hyper-focused targeting system. Instead of renting generic space on the internet, you are actively building a machine that isolates the exact variables of your success, discards everything else, and deploys your capital only when the math guarantees a return.
It is the only reliable way to move from renting your growth to actually owning a defensible position in your market.
As we wrap up this analysis, I know you always like to look past the text itself. We've covered Mago's strategy for Q2, but what is the larger implication here? What is the unwritten consequence of this shift toward AI search models?
This raises an important question for you to mull over regarding the long-term survival of your digital presence. The source material places a massive emphasis on optimizing your data to become the preferred answer for AI models like Gemini and ChatGPT.
Right.
We discussed how you build authority through high engagement metrics to be that answer, but consider the trajectory of user experience design. Right now, we still have a hybrid model, but if these AI search tools eventually stop providing users with a curated list of 10 different links, and instead, they simply synthesize all the data to provide just one single definitive answer directly in the chat interface, what happens to the businesses that come in second place?
There's no page 2 of Google anymore. There isn't even a bottom of page 1.
Exactly. Are we rapidly moving toward a marketing landscape where there are no search results pages at all, where it is just a winner-takes-all AI recommendation engine?
Terrifying.
If that is the reality we are walking into, extracting the signal from your Q1 data isn't just about having a more efficient Q2 budget. It might literally be the only way to ensure your brand continues to exist in the digital ecosystem.
If you are the runner-up in a winner-takes-all AI search query, you are essentially invisible.
Mm-hmm.
That is a heavy concept to walk away with, but absolutely vital for anyone planning beyond the next fiscal quarter. Thank you for dissecting this with me. Our mission today was to reframe how you interact with your own data. The next time you are handed that dense stack of Q1 reports, don't view it as a historical audit of what you already spent. View it as the raw material for your future targeting system. Until next time, keep digging into the data.
We hope you enjoyed today's topic.
Be sure to like, comment, and follow us.
And check out our other shows, all related to digital marketing.
Whether you're a web designer, Google Ads specialist, or a small business owner, we've got a show that'll help you get clarity on what's trending now in digital marketing.
And if you need help,
with 25 years of experience across 30 plus industries and thousands of projects, we deliver ruthlessly effective Google Ads, SEO, and omnichannel digital marketing campaigns.
Learn how you can get consistent leads in 30 days or less using our proven digital marketing strategies.
Contact us at doubledome.com to set up a free consultation.